Welcome to the Positive Pastor Podcast. My name is Pastor Eric, and I'm your host today. And today we're continuing our series on the life of King David, a man after God's own heart. Today we're talking about Wrecked by the Truth. This week in my sermon preparations, I came across this old story about our 32nd president. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, he got tired of smiling that big smile and saying the usual things at all those White House receptions. So one evening, he decided to find out whether anybody was paying attention to what he was saying. As each person came up to him with an extended hand, he flashed that big smile and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." As he feared, it quickly became evident that his words had slipped in one ear and out the other. Each guest responded with phrases such as, "Marvelous, keep up the great work," or, "We're so proud of you, Mr. President, God bless you." Nobody listened to what he was saying except for one foreign diplomat. When the president said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," the diplomat responded softly, "I'm sure she had it coming to her." The problem today is not that God is not speaking, but rather that we are not listening to him. It's not the Lord who's not speaking, but it is us who are not hearing. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, hold them in the air and say, "Word of God, Word of God." See, friends, everything we do here is driven by the Word of God. God wants to speak to you. And this is his Word. That's why it's so important that we acknowledge that every Sunday. If you would, turn in your word, in your Bibles, to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Just to recap what's going on. David has committed a great sin. He has slept with another man's wife, got her pregnant, killed her husband, married the woman, and thought he got away with it. So that's what he's done so far. So let's pick up the story now in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now it's time for God to speak, and he does it through the prophet Nathan. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 3. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, it grew up with him and his children. It shared its food, drank from his cup, even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare for the meal for the traveler who would come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who would come to him." Well, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you as king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you, your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if all of this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house. Because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own, this is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you. And he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. What you did in secret, you did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. you're not going to die. David is confronted with the truth. I'm sure he didn't want to hear. It's so easy to go through the motions and not realize the truth that is staring you in the face. Whether that's a relationship that's slipping away, an addiction that has consumed your life, an attitude that drives people away, or even the steady decline of a once vibrant relationship with God. David was wrecked by the truth laid out before him by the prophet Nathan. There will be times when God wants to share the truth with you so that your path may become clear. But like that story about Franklin D. Roosevelt, sometimes what God says to you goes in one ear and out the other. David needed to be shown the truth in just the way that Nathan presented it to him. He needed to see it and understand how far he had fallen, or he would simply keep on falling. The biggest leaps in our growth can come to us in Nathan moments, times in our lives when we are confronted with the ugly truth, times when God is trying to tell us something, which brings us to our question today. How do we know when God is trying to tell us something? Well, number one, listen to wise counsel. Listen to wise counsel. David had a prophet. Sometimes we need one too. Someone that can speak into your life. Someone that you will listen to. 2 Samuel 12:5, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." One scholar writes, "The story stirs up a powerful emotion in David, sympathy toward the innocent character and anger toward the guilty one." David says, "As surely as the Lord lives, the one who did this must die." And then, of course, Nathan drops the bomb. David himself is the man. The story is the thing wherein he catches the conscience of the king. Stories, often more than theological statements, can create Nathan moments, helping people see themselves as they really are. And God's grace as it really is. Maybe you are David. You need to find someone you can trust. Someone you can listen to. Maybe you're Nathan and you need to find creative ways to encourage your brother towards the right path. The church is filled with Nathans and Davids. Iron that sharpens iron to create people that are following the right path. I personally meet with other pastors and a Nathan type. Why? Because I know the truth of Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You see, when I first became a Christian, I was part of a life group. In a life group, each leader was in charge of discipling people, through at least three people, and those discipleship groups we walked in, Christian walk together. We kept each other accountable. We helped each other grow in our relationship with the Lord. Through discipleship and accountability partners, the church began to mature its new believers at an incredible rate. It's a vital part of spiritual maturity and something I hope we'll get working towards here. Here's the key, though. We got to be teachable. You see, the way a life group leader found the next person to intern as the new life group leader was by watching for who was teachable, who was actually humble enough to listen, who didn't think they had it all together, but who was able to take some instruction and apply it to their lives. You see, we all know people in our lives that, even in our families, who are just unteachable. They have the answer to everything. They don't want to consider any other options. Stubborn is another word for it. If David was unteachable or stubborn, he never would have come to repentance. You see, being teachable is important in any stage of life. Always be a student. Even if you're a teacher, there are always more things to learn, even from unlikely sources. How do we know when God's trying to tell us something? First, listen to wise counsel, be teachable. And second, listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. 2 Samuel 12:7. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I anointed you as king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more." The word of God delivered through the prophet Nathan wasn't an easy word to hear. I liken it to a child getting a harsh tongue lashing from an upset or disappointed father. One historian points out that the Lord's judgment is duly harsh yet merciful. David had committed a sin whose only stated penalty was death. We find this in Leviticus 20, verse 10. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. This was not a mild thing. So that was the penalty. Yet the Lord sovereignly promised that the king would not die. The metaphorical comparison between the lives of David and Israel, so firmly established prior to this point, is extended by this incident. Israel had played the harlot with foreign gods, therefore committing a sin for which the Torah decreed death. Yet after judging them, causing them to sacrifice much of the blessing that had been theirs, Yahweh the Merciful permitted them to live. It's mentioned by the commentator. Holman Publishers there. We need to be always listening to the voice of God. We cannot complain that we don't hear God if our Bibles are closed. Read His Word and He will speak. Many times I'll open up to a passage in the morning Bible time, and that will have a direct impact and relevance in my life that day. The Word of God should direct our paths. It's, after all, a lamp unto our feet, right? A light unto our path. If we're not in the Word every morning, then we're walking around blind. That's why I never preach a sermon that's based on anything but Scripture. And each week we have sermons filled with Scripture. We are a people of the Word. We believe God wants to speak to each of us, every one of us. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Guys, if we're not listening to the voice of God, then we're missing a pretty big part of our spiritual growth. The question is not if God is talking to us. The question is, are we listening? Or are we neglecting the very important part of our walk with the Lord? Are we allowing our Bibles to sit on our shelf and collect dust, rather than reading and applying God's Word to our daily life? And listening to God must not become a forgotten practice, but a daily habit. We've got to open our Bibles. Allow God to speak into your life. Spend time in silence, listening to Him. Not just praying a laundry list of requests, but listening for the Word, His Word, for your life. God wants to speak. Open your Bibles, let Him speak. How do we know when God is trying to tell us something? First, we got to listen to wise counsel and be teachable. Second, we got to listen to the Word of God. Don't let it collect dust. And third, we got to be honest with ourselves. Be honest with yourself. 2 Samuel 12:13 says this, "Then David said to Nathan, 'I've sinned against the Lord.'" You think? Nathan replied, "The Lord's taken away your sin. You're not going to die." Theologian notes, to David's credit, however, he did not shirk his guilt as Saul did when Samuel accused him. David confessed his guilt openly and lamented his spiritual impurity. Psalm 32, 3 through 5 said this. He said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away." Psalm 32, rather. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away as though my groaning was all day long. Night and day, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. The lesser response to rebuke is taking a defensive posture, lashing out at the person and this person and that, not taking ownership of the wrongdoing, if indeed there was. David owned up to it. He confessed his wrongdoing. He wrote this great lament in Psalm 51. We read it last week. Read parts of it again, where he said this. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. David writes, wash away my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions, my sins always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You're right in your verdict, justified when you're judge. He says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquity. He writes, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 12, I love verse 12. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I love it. He says, verse 17, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. Broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. You know, it goes on from there, but we can read it, read the utter honesty in this lament. You know, David owned up to his sin. He was honest with himself. That right there is one of the hardest things for us to do. Be honest with ourselves, admit fault. Say if I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. To say because of my sin, because of my stubborn way, I've kept God's best plan from unfolding in my life. To say that I've actually held back the potential for God to work his intended path for my life. See, confession is admission of something. It's an act of disclosure. Here's a story in the Ladies' Home Journal, as once quoted in the Reader's Digest. It said this. Being the general director of the New York Opera took a toll on Beverly Sills. She ballooned into obesity. It made me sick to look at myself. I reached the point where I didn't want to have my clothes made anymore. It was too embarrassing. I ordered everything from catalogs. Eventually, Sills was forced to face the problem. I woke up one day and realized I was really ill. She went to see a specialist. He put me on the scales. I read 215. Can't possibly weigh that much. I gasped. The doctor said, please look down. Are those two fat feet on the scale yours or mine? Beverly smiled and said, once I faced the truth, I was on my way. Being honest with ourselves is the first step to finding healing. Being able to identify that, yes, there is a problem. Maybe we're not where we're intended to be. Maybe we took a wrong turn along the way and found ourselves on the wrong path in our life or our career. Whatever it is, it takes a sense of honesty with ourself to get back on the right course. I remember back in college in Texas, I was driving a young lady to a very romantic spot for a sunset dinner called the Oasis Cafe. It's a restaurant close to Austin, and it was a collection of balconies scattered across a steep hill overlooking a beautiful lake. Best time to go was right before sunset because you could watch the sunset go down while you're having dinner. It books weeks in advance, so timing is everything. And this was days before cell phones and GPSs, so I ended up getting lost trying to find it. It wasn't until I pulled over the car and asked for directions that I got to the restaurant. You see, sometimes it takes recognizing that we're lost and being humble enough to ask for directions to find the way forward. Winston Churchill once said, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. God wants to do a great work in your life. He wants to do a great work in this church. And when we face the truth and listen to him, we can be the very best versions of ourselves, ones that are guided, directed by God's word, and not our own plans. Reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus. So how do we know when God is trying to tell us something? First, we got to listen to wise counsel and be teachable. Second, listen to the word of God and don't let it collect dust. And third, last, that was be honest with yourself and get back on the right path. Have that Damascus Road experience. A point of action is this. What truth is God revealing to you today? Are there areas where God wants to speak to you, but you don't want to hear it? This week, seek the truth of God to be revealed in your life and make the changes needed to experience the fullness of His presence. Thank you for joining us at the Positive Pastor Podcast, reminding you today and every day to stay positive because God is in control. See you next week.